Welcome to Sunday Talks from Center for Spiritual Living, Minneapolis. Each week we share practical New Thought wisdom to support spiritual growth, healing, and inspired living. Our September theme for 2026 has been Radical Embodiment. This month we'll explore what it means to bless the body, listen to its wisdom, release the shame we've learned to carry, and live with greater comfort, authenticity, and awe. Together we'll discover how radical embodiment invites us to come home to ourselves. Honor the divine in everybody, and become the spiritual truth we want to see and live with. This Sunday's talk for September 6th is This Body, This Holy Ground with Reverend Debbie O'Donnell. What if your body isn't getting in the way of your spiritual life, but is one of the places where spirit is expressing? We'll explore how blessing, listening to, and honoring the body can deepen our experience of wholeness. And now here is Reverend Debbie O'Donnell.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Okay, there we go. So, it's September, and I know most of us, we're looking forward to a wonderful program that our September theme and all of our, and our wonderful prayer. You'll have to come back next week, because they are sitting on our printer at home. Yeah, and they're having a really nice time there. So, it's a new month, it's a new theme. It's called Radical Embodiment. And I want to start off by saying how we humans in today's world, we've become so good at listening to our devices, haven't we? Our devices tell us when it's time to get up, time to go to bed, if we had a good night's sleep, how many steps, right? It tells us everything. But sometimes I think we're not so good at listening to our own bodies. I don't know, maybe it's just me. But it's kind of like a customer service recording, right? It's like, hello, this is your body. We've been trying to reach you. We've got some important information. And we just hang up. We don't listen to the rest of the message until it escalates. And pretty soon it's like the manager that comes and doesn't have that pleasant voice. It's like, hello? This is your body. We're docking now. Do not hang up. That is radical embodiment, is we're listening to those phone calls. We're listening to those messages that the body is giving us. And we start asking ourselves this question. This is what we're going to be looking at this whole month. This idea of what does it mean to inhabit this human life? Like, all of it, not just spiritually, not just mentally, not just emotionally, but to actually live it completely. Mind, spirit, heart, and body. Because sometimes, especially in New Thought teachings, we could be so wrapped up into our consciousness, right? Our spiritual path and our practices and all of those things that we start to think that this body is just sort of like a carrying case for all of our goodness, right? But it's so much more than that. You know, we teach that there is only one, that there's one life, one presence, one power, one creative dynamic force. And that one includes this incredible body, however much we love it or not. David Ault, he's a New Thought visionary. He writes, "My presence here in this body on this earth is a celebration of uniqueness and importance." Don't you love that? Uniqueness and importance. That has to do with our spirit, with our personality, and with this incredible body temple. My presence here in this body. So that's where we're going to start today, right here and right now. What if your body is one of those places where your experience, your spiritual experience is actually happening? Because it is. So today I want to look at three things. How to bless before we criticize. How we can listen before we override. And how we can give our spiritual truth a body and put it to good use. Listen, embody, inhabit life more fully. Now, bless before you criticize. Okay, that's harder than we all think it should be, right? It's harder for me. But that's because we've been groomed to see this body through our eyes of judgment. We're not thin enough or young enough or wealthy enough. Our hair isn't thick enough. The list goes on, right? I don't need to give, we all have our own lists. But radical embodiment asks us to look at it from a different point of view, from a divine set of eyes, from that idea of we're not broken. We're not trying desperately to fix ourselves. We are spiritually magnificent beings. And that includes the wholeness of this physical expression. Now, I'm not talking about denying conditions, right? I'm not talking about denying physical conditions. If something hurts, if something needs medical attention, then we address it. We do. But those conditions, those are just conditions. They don't define us. They are our experience, but they are not our identity. And in this teaching, that's very important. It's one thing to say, my knees hurt. It's another thing to say, my whole body is just falling apart. See the difference? My knees are hurting. My body isn't falling apart. My knees hurt. Maybe other things hurt. But my body is not falling apart. That is not the truth of who we are. The fact that I'm tired today has nothing to do with my age factor. My age has nothing to do with how tired or active I am. See, a new thought, we are invited to remember that the conditions always change. But the identity that we have is unchanging. Our life, with a capital L, our presence, our spirit, our love, our wholeness, is always right where we are. And this body is incredible. Think about what this body is doing, and you're not even consciously looking at it. It's breathing. Your blood is pumping. Your heart is moving. You know, this body is just incredible. It's got this intelligence without you having to direct it. And this divine intelligence is the same thing that created life in general. It is the only creative energy that there is. And I just find it interesting that we can stand next to an ocean and say, God is magnificent. Right? We can look at a mountain and say, oh my God, God created that. But when we look in the mirror, well, you get the idea, right? When we look in the mirror, we're not necessarily seeing the magnificence always. But what if we did? What if we brought that same reverence for nature? What if we brought that into our home? And we allowed ourselves to nurture ourselves from that place. Not from the eyes of evaluating, but from the eyes of awe, from the eyes of knowing who and whose we are. It is this body that has carried us every day. Without this body that we can bless, we wouldn't know joy completely. We wouldn't know human touch. We wouldn't be able to identify every beginning and every ending and hold those dear to us. This ordinary body on a Tuesday functions as well as it does on a Friday or a Saturday. It allows us to hold someone's hand. So, maybe the spiritual response isn't about how can I improve this body, but maybe it's about saying thank you. Like, thank you for allowing me to experience this thing called life, called humanness. And maybe it's not about how does my body look, but what is my body allowing me to experience? That goes for the good stuff and the not so good stuff, right? Which takes us to the idea of listening before we override. Because many of us aren't really listening. How many of us find ourselves tired, but we keep going? Stressed, but we keep going? Think we need a rest? Oh, there's guilt to that. I gotta keep pressing on, right? Maybe I need a boundary, but it's so much easier just to say yes anyway than to fight the battle and stand in my spiritual power. Now, again, I'm not saying every ache is a metaphysical message. Not so. Sometimes a headache just means I need to drink some water. Sometimes when I'm tired, it's just because I stayed up way too late last night. But sometimes a symptom needs a doctor's appointment, right? And we get our own spiritual practical wisdom to help us decipher all of that. So what if the deeper question is, what would change if I stopped treating my body as a problem, as something that needs to be fixed or corrected, and started treating it like my life partner, with respect and with love? I want to talk a minute about Michael J. Fox. We all know who he is, right? The actor. So at 29, he was diagnosed with early onset Parkinson's disease. And he's been very open about it, but it took him a couple of years to get there. He talks about the fact that when his immediate diagnosis turned into sort of an inspirational message for him. Because in the beginning, he was scared. He was resistant. Man, he was worried about his career. He was worried about his family. And he starts to describe how easy it was to live in that state of fear. And haven't we all been there, right? Something happens, and we're not living in the present. Because we're thinking, what is the worst thing that is now going to happen to me? Next week, 6 months, 5 years, we've already created this disaster movie in our lives. I know we all do it. Some of us, me, are better at, than others, but we all do it. But eventually, he realized that he could accept the diagnosis, but not resign to it, not let it be his end, his ending story. Resignation, there's nothing I can do. I'm just going to live with it, right? But acceptance is, okay, this is what is. Now what? What's next? What is mine to do in this, right? I think this is an important point for all of us, because in New Thought, we think we can control things, right? Spiritually, we change our thinking, we change our life, right? And with that, there is a certain amount of control we have, but we don't have total control. That's like a crazy thing to think, but we do. Like, everything was in my condition is within my control. So if my faith was strong enough, this wouldn't be happening. Or if my consciousness was always right, right, this bad thing would never happen. I wouldn't have to be dealing with this if I was just had more faith. Well, that's not true. And I want us to be really clear on this, because Michael Fox, J. Fox didn't get Parkinson's because he was having the wrong thoughts. Someone who's experiencing illness is not a failure spiritually. Aging is not evidence that your affirmations aren't working. None of that is true. Because when that starts to become true for ourselves, we're taking our spiritual principle and we're turning it into a spiritual blame game. And that's not where our power lies. Our power is not in blaming or judging or criticizing or any of those things that we've been taught so well to do. No. the power of our consciousness, of our spiritual practice, of our spiritual principles, is to recognize that we get to reveal who we are as we accept and move through the conditions. And that's really critical, because not everything is in our control. Fox could not control his diagnosis, but he eventually accepted it. He acknowledged the truth of it. And that's when he says his real life started yet again. He was not empowered by pretending. He was not empowered by denial. He was not empowered by fast-forwarding however many years. He was empowered by saying, this is what is. Now, who am I going to be while I'm here? Because that's the truth, right? What is mine to do? How do I move forward living my life to the fullest? What is still possible? He said that instead of asking, what is Parkinson's going to take from me, he began asking, what can I do with this? And he became curious. So he established a foundation in 2000 for Parkinson's research. He's been of service to the disease. He's been a spokesperson for it. He's been very open about what he's been going through. Doesn't mean that it was sent to him for a purpose, though, right? It just is what it is. And he said that I did not lose my capacity to choose. I can still love, I can still serve, I can still ask, I can still be curious, I can still be full of wonder and awe. And waking up curious is a wonderful thing, because judgment says, this shouldn't be happening, right? Fear says, it's only going to get worse. But curiosity is like, okay, now what? What's possible? What's mine to do? What does life want from me now? Life with a capital L. Like, Spirit, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to suit up and show up? So maybe the question isn't, why did God do this to me? But maybe the question is, what can Spirit express through me now? When I first got into this teaching, Dr. Reverend Peggy Bassett was the minister at the time. And this was back in the early 80s, so I'm dating myself. But she was diagnosed with Lou Gehrig's disease. And that was back in the time when, in this teaching, we still thought that maybe, you know, if you got really ill, you really weren't a good minister. But she proved that wrong. And in her last talk, her last Sunday talk, she couldn't stand and she couldn't speak very clearly. But she shared that this disease brought her closer to God, closer to Spirit, and closer to love than any teaching, any reading, or any lesson could have. And I'll never forget that, because she just stood in her truth, and she was like, you don't know God until you sit at a table with people that are using their toes to pick up their coffee cup. You don't know God until you need a device to speak for you, because all of a sudden, it's all God. So listen before you override, and then celebrate it. Be curious about it. Which takes me to the final point for today, and that is to give your spiritual truth a body, because isn't that what we're all about? Spirit takes form through us, works with us, and expresses as us. It experiences its creation as we are experiencing our life. That ordinary, beautiful, and sometimes way too messy life, that human life. And it's about putting everything that we've read, we've discussed, it's about putting it into practice, right? So the real question today I'm going to leave you with is, are we really living life, like to the fullest? We can say that God is peace. But how does peace look in my body? Am I at peace with it? We can say I am love, but how does that love sound when I'm speaking on a normal basis to someone I don't even know? Or someone I do know, but I don't respect? We can say I live in abundance, but what does abundance do with our hands, with our time and our talent and our treasures? And I can say I'm whole. But when I walk into a room, do I walk into a room filled with the knowledge that I am whole, perfect, and complete? In this moment, at this time. Because spirituality is meant, I believe, and we forget this sometimes, it's meant to have an inner awareness. But it's got to move out. It's got to move out, and it's got to demonstrate. It has to suit up, but then it has to show up. That is how the invisible becomes visible. That is how an idea becomes a reality, right? All of a sudden, if we're willing to do that, love becomes a meal. It becomes a phone call, a ride to the doctor's office, an apology. Love becomes a boundary that we set. In the Midwest, it becomes a casserole. Hot dish, there you go, a hot dish. Trust me, if you bring somebody a hot dish in Southern California, they're just gonna look at you weird, especially if it has tater tots on it. But you see where it's coming? You gotta give love shoes. You gotta give your spirituality shoes. So, peace can become the breath you take before you respond to someone. Just take that breath before you react. Compassion becomes just that tone that you bring, that warmth that you share. Abundance becomes generosity, giving of one's time, one's talents, one's treasures, to give it without expectation. Forgiveness becomes, if you're really into it, letting go of your story that's no longer serving you altogether. And faith becomes a willingness to take that next step. You get the idea, right? When we put our spirituality into action, we become divine expressions. We become, in life, what has been revealed to us in our spiritual practice of quietness. We don't automatically become a divine expression because all of a sudden we're at that perfect weight. We don't. We don't become more sacred just because we're feeling healthier or stronger or more flexible. We don't become a spiritual being when the numbers on the chart are reading exactly what we want them to read. Or when we reach a certain income. None of that impacts our wholeness, our divinity, or our spiritual energy. We are all of that right now, and we always have been. I find it so interesting. You know, we celebrate God's creation. God had no problem creating us just as we are and just as we are not. This body is not interfering with our spiritual life. It's not impacting our spiritual expression. It's not defining our divinity. Our divinity. What it is it's supporting us in doing all of that. This body is where one's spiritual life actually lives. So, bless before you critique. Hard. but so important. Listen before you override, and give your spiritual truth a body. Don't just love it, but live life that way. Express life that way. Don't just talk about peace, but breathe it. Share it. Oh. In closing, I want to remind us all that when we allow God to be visible through how we live and how we express and how we move, then we're allowing others to do the same. This week, the assignment is to love ourselves passionately, compassionately, fully aware of the flaws and seeing what's possible with them. Because we are the Word made flesh, right? And we're divine. And wherever we are is holy ground. And it is holy ground because it is where we are in our full divine expression of this body and this wonderful thing called life. So it is.